All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? On a beautiful, sunny Monday in the big city, we are here for you as we normally are. The Usual Suspects, Barry Laminack, Nick Sciarra, yours truly, Joel Blank. After a weekend of upsets in the NCAA tournament, I'm sure plenty of you have busted brackets now, so you have options. But as always, we start with news of the weekend, Barry. Anything big, eventful?
Other than my bracket being, you know, obliterated. Actually, I'm still not bad because
you got West Virginia.
I had West Virginia and Kentucky in the Final Four, so I'm still
good
there.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
I did a lot of yard work this weekend.
Experiencing any back tightness like Sam Decker?
I'm a little sore.
His was from yard work, too.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little sore.
Were you wearing the straw hat?
No, I'm trying to get some sun. I gotta shed my winter coat, my winter white. So I'm pasty when I don't have a tan. Let me tell you what, I am the whitest person you've ever seen. I feel sorry for my wife having to look at me naked. I look like a big sock with pubic hair. Like, it's just the worst.
There's a visual.
It's the worst. So I have to tan as much as I can.
Like a real clear visual.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
Like a
very,
throw up in the back of your very, mouth very, visual.
Very, very specific visual. Well, I wanted to paint the picture for the listeners. I'm sure they appreciated that. Everyone that's eating is like, ugh. I'm out working in the yard, and I'm trimming our hedges, shaping them, so to speak. And there's a bee, and it's a honeybee. You know what I mean? Like those, just the simple little honeybees that
they're not dangerous.
Not honey. I guess they're honeybees. Yeah, they're just the little bees.
Okay.
Those are pretty docile. And so I had this momentous step forward in my manhood. As I'm trimming, there's this bee on the bush next to me. And I'm sitting down by now because I'm exhausted and my back hurts. I'm literally sitting on the ground trimming this bush. And this bee comes and lands next to me. And you guys know how scared of bees and wasps I am. I've told you this on this show several times.
Yep. Yeah.
So this bee lands and I'm like, all right, Barry, now's your chance. Man up and don't do anything. Don't stand up and start running. Don't drop the shears. Don't just keep going, man. Just, you know, do your thing. And I did. And the bee sat on his bush doing his thing. And I was on my bush doing my thing. And I felt like a man. I felt like I had accomplished something because I didn't scream in terror and take off running. So I was like, I'm feeling myself now. I'm like, yeah, like I'm flicking the bees, and I'm like, and then they won't mess with me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm no longer scared of bees. And then I got on the mower and saw a carpenter bee, and it chased me. And the stamp that I had to take the stamp off my man card for not being afraid of bees, because I thought I had gotten it back. Like, I was like, okay, now it's just wasps that I'm afraid of. Bees are no longer there. No, I tell you what. Hell hath no fury like a carpenter bee on a mission, because those aren't the little docile honeybees.
Okay,
those are the big. They're yellow and black, and they're real fat. Those things, those are the scariest of all the bees and wasps in the world.
I'm not smart enough to tell you which insects or bees or bugs are lethal or not lethal. So I just stay away from all of them.
When you have a fear like I do of them, I can tell you the difference between
educate yourself.
A red wasp and a yellow jacket and a mud domper and a hornet. A mud dauber.
Dauber?
Mud dauber, yeah. That's
new to me too, Bill. I have no idea what he's talking about.
They'll be called paper wasps as well.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know all
this,
guys.
So, Nick, did you get the summary of all this?
The mud dauber is the one that builds the
honeycomb?
No. No, it looks like it's made out of mud. Like, you know how you get them in the corner? Like,
Yeah,
and it's like real brittle and hard, and you hit it, and it, that's a mud dauber, basically. Or those, you'll see those little stacks coming up from the ground. Those are mud daubers as well.
Okay.
But they're also known as paper wasps, I believe. And they won't sting you. They're very docile. They're the all black ones, and they'll leave you alone.
So the synopsis is sitting down.
Yeah, next to a honeybee.
Trimming some bush.
Next to a honeybee, total man.
Feeling yourself because you weren't afraid of the bees.
Yeah.
That pretty much wraps it up, right?
Yeah. I got my man card for a little while. And then I got on the mower and got too close to something and pissed off a carpenter bee. And he chased me around the yard for a little while. That was it. I lost my card again.
Wow. Yeah. I just played Mr. Mom, and it ain't fun.
No.
No, Lisa left.
Come on, man. I thought having kids was awesome.
It is awesome. But I'm just saying, Lisa had an emergency trip to L.A. yesterday. And, man.
Are you sure she just didn't want to get away from you and the kid?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Because I got so many calls and text messages of missing me and the kid that I knew that it wasn't an intentional trip.
All right.
But in the meantime, oh, my God, the stuff you got to do with a kid. Yeah. I mean, and the bathing. And I'm just not doing that. See, I mean, here's my thing.
I was going to say, my kid, I mean,
I ain't
I don't
going
shower.
Below the belt. Nope, here's the washcloth, but I ain't, just feels
you're not,
weird.
You're not washing the,
make
it's
sure
your
there's
kid.
Lots of,
dude, it's your
I get
kid.
I washcloth are awful, you know, with soap, but I'm just like not, like Lisa's like all like getting out. I'm like, that's not me. Not doing it. Mm-mm.
I wonder if you can make a deal. I'm not married, so I wouldn't know. I wonder if you can make a deal with your wife where she does like all the diaper changing and stuff like, but you do all the other stuff that's not.
And
so
I'll
disgusting.
Do the diaper
like
changing
what?
And stuff.
Like taking, I don't know, giving it medicine.
Giving it.
Yeah. Making sure it's, okay, you know, just carrying, like being, you know, carrying it. I don't know. I mean, just.
Carrying it?
Yeah.
This is a chore for a kid in Nick's mind. Carrying the kid is equivalent to changing a diaper.
Yeah. I just don't want to change diapers ever.
Yeah, it's
would you be one of those dads that gag the whole time?
Just, I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd have to find some sort of compromise.
Smell the puke. You'll do it.
Really?
Smell baby puke. You'll gag.
You'd rather change a diaper than smell baby puke.
Absolutely, without a doubt, 100%.
I wouldn't want to do either,
on a
man.
Girl, I definitely would, but boys, little boys will pee in your face, and I don't need that.
Yeah,
I don't need like, that. They
my
will.
My sister has a lifetime of resentment because I had deadly aim, and I used to drill it. They used to have to put a clean diaper over the shooter when they were changing me.
That's a fact.
Because it was a hobby, and it was a sport for me to hit my sister with a laser of pee.
And that's when he was 14.
There you go. Yeah. 15 was the last time I did it, I think, that I'm on record for. Yeah.
No, but that's true, though. Little boys? Oh, bro. I would much rather have a little girl when it comes to
that. Do
people
get mad when you call babies it?
If you know what sex they are.
Only people with babies, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
If you know what sex they are.
They don't count anyways.
We found that out a long time ago. It's just...
I don't know. I think I'd be all right with cleaning my kid, you know,
changing
little
the
girl
diapers?
Down below. No,
diapers
cleaner.
Are easy. Like, I got no problem bathing, with diapers.
I get what he's saying, like having to bathe her down below in her nether regions and having to like touch it to clean it.
And Lisa's like, just get in there.
Weird.
Get in there and take the washcloth and get no, I will not.
Yeah.
Again, I just can't. I can't convince myself to do. I think if I was a new parent, I would say, what can I do to avoid changing diapers? That's like the first compromise I would
come
up with.
Yeah, but he's talking about giving them a bath, not changing diapers.
But I understand what Nick's saying, because when we first had the baby, I was like, look, eventually I'm going to have to do this diaper thing and learn, you know, swaddling first, then the diaper thing and the, you know, proper way to change her and everything.
Yeah.
But that actually came pretty easy, and it's like second nature now. I don't even think about it. But I'm telling you what, man. First of all, first the puke. And second of all, I just don't feel like I need to be that accurate with a bath because it's only 20. Lisa will be back tonight and it'll all be taken care of. Just like doing her hair. She cries every single time you wash her hair. So I'm not washing her hair.
I wouldn't bathe her at all.
I bathe her.
I go by the car wash and hold her out the window.
Well, close enough. What I did was is I just put extra bubble bath in there and extra soap. So she got all the soap and water she needed in all the places where she sat. I did all the cleaning up
take
above
her out
and around.
Take her out on the porch and hose her off.
But then Lisa's calling, like she's in bed, right? And I'm saying yes. And she's sitting next to me watching games. I mean, if she wasn't having it and going to bed early, then she can watch games with me. I got no problem with that. I'm just glad she's coming back, though. Yeah, there's just way too much.
See, I That's the beauty of cats and not kids. That's a new campaign I'm going to start. Cats, not kids.
Yeah. Give up the cat. Change the cars for kids. Give up the kid, not the cat. That's exactly. That's the new slogan.
Cats are like a roast, bro. You just set it and forget it. You're done. Just leave it. You don't have to worry about it, man. Little litter box and some food and water, and you're good to go. They clean themselves. They go to the bathroom themselves. It's all good, man.
So they start puking and diarrhea.
Well, if you just ignore it long enough, it dries up and goes away.
So how often are you giving your cats a bath?
They hate water.
Never.
Cats hate water.
Never. I've never bathed my cat.
Yeah, cats hate water.
My wife does once a year, and I'm only there for reconnaissance and support, but I'm not bathing a cat. But she does.
I've done it before.
It's not cats hate water, right?
Yeah. One of our cats hates water and one doesn't. When we first got him, the oldest, the 18-year-old, when we first got him, he would get in the shower with you. He would just come in and stand.
Okay, that's
in the,
just plain weird anyway.
No, he would just stand in the back of the shower and just chill.
Sparky, you got a towel? Come on in here. No, that ain't happening.
He went in there masturbating or anything.
It's still weird. You're going to hold the shower door open so the cat can take a shower too? No.
You turn around the shower, the cat's sitting there with the soap going, yeah. Looking good, Bear.
I bet you guys cannot wait to get to sports stories. All right, so if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, and you can always hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 with the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We want to remind you guys that we are The Usual Suspects. Nick, you're so darn lucky. This week, you don't have to travel anywhere.
I don't.
Why Barry do you have and I to have to go to Beaumont.
Oh, I know. I was talking to, who was it? I think MC about it. Michael Caron. And I was like, man, I don't want to drive out there.
That's a drive, too, by the way. I had never done it till I did it to do a show with Raheel at Saltgrass out there. That is the drive to nowhere.
I do want to visit it because I think it's a great location to visit. But I do want to really visit the, Pinkerton's?
Wait, what?
Twin Peaks?
You think Beaumont is a great location
Visit? Isn't it Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
What I heard, there was good things about that particular Twin Peaks location, is what I was saying. Yeah.
Talent-wise?
Yeah. I mean, just overall, the atmosphere, the restaurant, I don't know. I haven't been.
It's all right. You can say girls. It's fine. Yeah, the chicks are hot. The chicks are hot. We know that's what you're getting at, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, I like Twin Peaks. I like Twin Peaks. I like Cooters. Yeah.
Oh, after Selma Hayek, you like Twin Peaks.
Oh, my God. I love Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
She's going to be 90, and I'm going to still love Selma Hayek.
I was surprised at Beaumont. I thought it would have been. Although, we went on a Sunday. And
for a show?
Yeah. We had a remote out there, shocking out for Houston Game Day. And I got to say, the drive out there was kind of alarming. Like, you'd see just weird things. Every once in a while, you'd just pass a rebel flag in a yard.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, uh-oh.
But you know what?
We ain't in Kansas anymore.
That bridge is beautiful. But that bridge is so unnecessary. It's like it's a beautiful bridge. It's way up there, and all you're doing is going over like the ship channel. If you look down, it's not just like beautiful blue water and you're going, what the?
Did it have some sort of purpose back in the day? Maybe it just doesn't have a purpose anymore.
What bridge? I went the back roads.
Oh, I just took I-10.
Oh no, okay. I went the back roads.
Okay,
and I mean it's a very highly traveled bridge and everything like that, but. Yeah, I don't know if it's like the water kind of dried up or the shoreline got bigger and then they started building the ship channel.
Right.
But, I mean, you are way up there. You can see for miles. But you look down, you're like, what? Why? Okay.
little bayou.
Yeah, you're just going up. Okay, that's nice. Yeah, we could have put the Clampets could have put a bridge up after they were done moving to Beverly.
We did get this text that said, hey, guys, how was your weekend? It was good. Thanks for asking. On the subject of bathing an infant girl, I found it easier to do it in the sink with the sink having a spray gun or handle to rinse her off down in the region. Makes it a lot easier. I was a single father for 4 years. It worked for me. There you go.
That's a good tip. So my whole putting the straw in there and making the bubbles go down there, that didn't work so well.
Wait a minute.
I'm kidding Barry. I'm kidding.
What?
I just figured the more bubbles, the better. What? So I made it a hot tub and put a straw and just started blowing. Blah, 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 blah.
You trying to make a bubble bath?
Oh, I made a bubble bath. When I started filling the tub, I just put like about a good 4 or 5 ounces of bubble bath, and there was more bubbles than we needed.
Was there? You lost her for a little while. Like, where'd she go? All the bubbles covering the kid up.
Yeah, she's and she's That's demanding.
Awesome. Is she?
Yeah, man. She's a woman. I mean, she likes to have the water running so she can stick, you know, play with it. Yeah. Whatever. You turn the water off, immediate, she just starts screaming.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, she's you got a woman. It. You win. Water's on.
Yeah, she might be one, but she's still a woman. They're going to get their way no matter what. Age yeah. be damned.
No question. All right, so are you guys brackets? Are they alive?
No.
Are they well? No? Not at all?
Absolutely.
Who hurt you? Nova, Louisville, Duke, or both?
I think Louisville.
Oh, Louisville. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that ended it for me, so.
Mine's all right. I'm still half alive in the Final Four.
Half's good.
Yeah.
I think I'm 3/4 alive in the Final Four.
Yeah, you sprung up. My round of 64 went well. My round of 32, not so much. I've only got like 5-6 teams left.
Huh, okay. Like, yeah, I was going to say, what was the biggest upset of the weekend? And I just said to you guys, Nova or Duke, but Louisville was a pretty big loss, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Wisconsin beating Villanova was the biggest upset, for sure. although, I know, look, who?
Who?
What? Never heard of them.
What did that team up north do?
Although, I do, you know, again, it's funny that, what a difference a week makes, right? Because last week, Joel was on here lamenting the fact
they suck.
That Wisconsin was in that bracket and had to face Nova, and it wasn't fair.
I said the seeds were wrong.
And
guess what?
Now
I was
they're
right.
going to lose, and it sucks. And then look, would you have rather played, where was it? Where did we say? We discussed swapping Minnesota and Middle Tennessee and Wisconsin. Would you have rather have played Middle Tennessee State?
Sure. You know why?
Which would have put you in line with Butler and North Carolina. Would you have been all right with that?
No problem with that.
Yeah. Really?
A five seed. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. I I've told you guys, you've seen my bracket. I took North Carolina to win it all. I hate taking North Carolina to win it all. And I don't want to put it on coaching or Roy Williams or anything like that. I never feel comfortable putting Carolina to win it all because, like, and this is the other thing I was going to get to with you guys, but that Arkansas game, they should have lost that game. And those are the kind of stinkers that they'll come up with right when they don't need them, and it just scares the hell out of me. Whereas, you know, other teams are just going to be so diligent in terms of their preparation and their execution and the way they go about their business that you really don't have to worry about them much. And Carolina's always a team that scared me. But you guys saw me. I tweeted all the way throughout the pregame. I really thought they had a legitimate shot against Nova. I thought that the way that they matched up and the way that they play defense and things like that, they're bigs. They had more size up front. It was just a matter of staying out of foul trouble, cleaning the glass. They did a lot of that. But I actually thought Villanova was kind of overrated going into the tournament simply because they just – the intangibles. Last year, the point guard was such a big key for them. The kid that graduated, the Italian kid, he's gone. And from a size factor, depth up front, I just felt like they didn't have it.
My whole East is gone. Like, I have nobody left in the East bracket.
Really?
I missed on every pick in the East from here on out. Yeah, because I had Villanova, Virginia, SMU, and Duke. And it's South Carolina, Baylor, Florida, and Wisconsin. That's, well, yeah. So I have
the SMU hurt a lot of people. Nova, I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, only because I picked them. Like, my bracket looked terrible last year, but I picked Nova to win it all, and they did.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping they'd win back-to-back just because it hasn't been done in so long, and I think that swayed my decision to pick Nova over Wisconsin.
I tweeted this, but the kid Jenkins that made the shot here last year to win it all at the buzzer, or close to at the buzzer, if he came out last year, he was a late first, early second-round pick. He looks like a different player. I mean, he made a – if there's one kid that made a huge mistake staying, it might be him, because this year he may go undrafted as a senior. That's too bad. But I don't know if his head got big or he felt like – and he couldn't make a shot in that game. But the one thing I was going to bring up to you guys, and we can maybe tease it and then get back to it next segment, but the problem that I had, and I think it started when we were at Revelry, where we know – the Seton Hall game, where they didn't call traveling. They let – you know, they – And then they called a bad foul. The referees were way too prevalent in games this weekend, and there are some universities and some basketball programs that have legitimate beefs over how some of these games were decided, and that's a shame when it's a one-and-done scenario and it's not a best-of-seven or, I really deeply felt bad for kids at, like, Northwestern and some of these schools where they just got a screw job.
Yeah, there was some bad calls and some bad refereeing, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you can't blame. I didn't see anything, and maybe I just missed it, but I didn't see anything that legitimately cost another team a game. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Okay, so I got two for sure, maybe three. The Seton Hall game was the one that was, while we were broadcasting last on Thursday or Friday, that was pretty bad. But then the two that I was watching that really, and there's three actually, but one of them, like to your point, I don't know that it decided the game. But Northwestern, the guy from Gonzaga blocks a shot by putting his hand through the rim.
Yeah, that was good. That's
block
the one I was
going to
mention. Yeah.
Now, at the time, it would have been, I think, a three-point game if the basket goes in. Now, instead, it stays five. They call a technical on Collins, the coach of Northwestern. They get two free throws. They make them both. Suddenly, that game's over.
Yeah, and I think there was a couple of games like that where it decided not necessarily in the last minute of the game.
Sure.
But like in the last three or four minutes of the game, and it just ruined the rest of the game. And you can only make the argument for it. You can't
final minute and a half.
Otherwise.
Arkansas. Arkansas has been up five. It's a one-point game. Carolina has the ball. Arkansas knows they're going to get it back, but obviously being down one is a lot different than being down three. Point guard for Carolina, Matt Trucks, the Arkansas guy, knocks him flat on his ass, and the whistle does not blow either way. And it is a blatant one way or another. It's a block or a charge. He then stops dribbling, takes four steps, shot clock's running out, throws it at the basket, misses the rim, hits the backboard, and a Carolina guy's on the other side of the basket, catches it, kisses it back off the glass. They go up three. They end up winning by like three or four. I was like, now that's one in the final minute, too, that I just thought that was just a momentum buster for Arkansas.
Yeah, I missed that one. I didn't get to watch that game, but that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, I just felt bad because there were, and I think Charles was alluding to it without flat out calling the officials out, but there were just like four or five games. The other one was the St. Mary's and Gonzaga game where a guy's got four fouls for St. Mary's, and the Arizona guy climbs two guys back and lands on the Gonzaga guy, in which he rides him out of bounds and shoves him to the floor, and they called it on the guy who was on the floor that got ridden. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not a good call.
Yeah, that's...
But that, you know, that was like Nick said, that was like 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'm not going to say it cost him the game, but I hate when officials are more talked about than the actual games themselves.
Yeah, that sucks. Before we go to break, somebody said, is this the ESPN? They texted and said, is this the ESPN Houston text line hoping for auto reply confirmation? Well, you're not going to get one, but I just gave you one over the air. So if you're listening, if you're a listener, now if that's a spam message, then whatever. But if they're listening, yeah, you did reach the ESPN text line, sir or madam.
Right?
No, never.
Yeah,
never reply.
So you're not going to get an automated
just on air.
System.
Just on air. Yeah.
But it's like if you're a robot, you're screwed.
We're not that fancy.
We reply on air where you should be listening anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. So if you want to skip the text message and either tweet us or call us, you can do that. As always, with you know the text number if you already sent that. But 713-780-ESPN, calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. We continue to roll on. We were talking about the NCAAs. We were talking about the upsets, and we were talking about the officials. You know, you just hope going forward the officials aren't a part of the story, because if you just – I think Sam Decker tweeted it out, too, and it wasn't even about the Badgers. He just said in the Seton Hall game, he goes, just let the kids decide the game. Don't decide it for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big – it's just a big deal. But if you're Northwestern and you know, you're talking – yeah – oops, my bad. The NCAA admitted they made a mistake, but there's no do-overs. There's no It's kind of like the NBA with that report on officiating. Do you really want to know that they admitted that they screw up when you're not going to go back and replay the game from that?
Well, somebody named, I'm guessing it meant, they meant Keith, but it says Jeith, which
could be a suave new name.
J-A-K right there. Or maybe he's Hispanic and it's Yeath or Weath, like Juan Weath. I don't know. He said, you bring up officiating, you don't mention that reach-in foul at the end of the first half of that one game. Major game changer. He's being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. 94% correct call rate over the weekend by refs. I don't know where he got that number from, but that doesn't seem very good to me.
It doesn't seem accurate, right?
No, even if it is accurate. 94% doesn't seem all that good.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you're officiating, it should be like 99. Like, you shouldn't, there shouldn't be a 6% where you just... our bad. Well, man, sorry, we screwed up.
Well, you know, they're human. You're not going to get 100.
Doesn't matter. I mean, that's the point, right? You call it by the rule.
I think based on, and like I said, there were a lot of calls that I saw that weren't game changers, but you still would mark that down and go, yeah, you missed that one.
Yeah. There were tons where you're like, oh, geez, that's a bad call. There was a block or a charge. That's most often.
Right, the block charge. Yeah.
But, I mean, and those are tough in the moment. I mean, when you watch the replay.
But they can go back and use replay on that.
Can
if they so
on
choose.
On all the blocks and
on
charges?
On a block charge, they can go back and see if the heel or part of the foot was inside the semicircle.
Well, no.
I saw a game where they checked it.
Well, like last night, yeah, that. But like last night, I forget which game it was, but was it Duke where he kind of leaned into the guy?
Oh, at the end of the Oregon game, Brooks did it. He leaned in, called an offensive foul. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, they're not going to review that, but that looked like that was the wrong call, but, you know.
Yeah, and Rhode Island, I thought, got screwed on a couple of calls. Again, not to end up deciding the game, but when Oregon was making their run, I thought Rhode Island got a couple of questionable calls that Hurley was really upset about. You could read his lips, and he wasn't exactly praising the officials. Yeah. That's for sure.
I tell you what, it doesn't matter what else happens the rest of the March Madness tournament. The fact that Duke lost.
I saw your tweet.
That's all I care about. I hate Duke so much, and I don't know. I know why.
You're not alone.
No, a lot of people.
I don't hate him, but a lot of people don't.
I
like
don't
him.
Care if I miss every single pick in my bracket as long as Duke loses. Like, I literally, that made me so happy after all the other things that go on. Just to see their little sniveling faces and their just sadness makes me feel so good. Like, oh, God, who's the kid that had the black eye?
From Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the kid that's just getting the memes like crazy.
I hate that dude. Like, he looks like, he's literally, if they made a poster for white privilege,
is it like Schaefer?
He'd be on there.
He was Mr. Ohio basketball.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah. That dude. And then, of course, Grayson Allen. Mm. He looks like, it dawned on me last night. First of all, he has resting bitch face. He does.
He does.
Like, he literally has resting bitch face. But I was looking at him. I forget what he was doing. He was standing around doing something, and it dawned on me. Oh, my God. He looks like if Mike Krzyzewski and the devil had a baby. It would look like Grayson Allen. Like, go look at him. He looks like he's got some Mike Krzyzewski in his face.
Luke Kennard is his name.
Is that the the Ohio? Yeah, that dude.
Yeah, Luke Kennard.
Ugh, God.
Well, I'll tell you what, they were killing him after the game on memes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had the shiner. He also has the kind of look of Muffy, Biff, Skip, and I are going sailing after we go to the Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you were going to do a poster describing white privilege, you'd use him.
So they got him with his like palms in the air with the shocked face like from Home Alone, and the meme started coming in with the quotes like, who closes the Ralph Lauren store before 9 p.m.?
Exactly.
They're just absolutely, what do you mean I can't park my Porsche here, bro? You know who my father is?
Yes.
I mean, they were just classic, and they just kept.
Thank God.
What do you mean Dad only got me a 3 series for Christmas?
Ugh,
they're fantastic.
God. The fact that Duke's not in anymore, I'm so happy. I just couldn't be happier.
And you know, and Grayson Allen's the other guy because I watched him, and I really haven't watched him that. I know he can shoot, and I saw what he did a year ago in his, and I've seen his career a little bit. But man, he's the guy that every other player can do that, like they can pretend like they got hit by a sniper on like a pick.
Yeah.
And you see Grayson Allen do it, and you're like, do it again, hit him harder next time because he grates at you.
Honest to God, I'm watching it thinking I just wish that they would send in just like. Just a goon almost, just to go in there and just punch him dead off in the face and take the ejection. Like, just please someone just into the bench. Who's your last guy you're never going to use? Hey, I want you to go in there, and I want you to just don't even set a pick. I just want you to walk up and just punch him dead off in the face and then just walk to the locker
room. But
don't
you guys
– just don't even wait.
The passion – and I'm with you. The passion that you have against Duke, I'm right there with you.
Okay.
But just as strongly as we have that passion against it, there's a ton of people that have no connection to Duke that have it – they have the Jones for Duke doing well. Like,
I saw a guy in go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just saw a dude in a Carolina jersey rooting for
hard. He and his wife in Carolina jersey just pumping fists and going crazy when Duke sucked.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's good. One of my longtime friends from Ohio, right? Yeah. Went to MIT, went to Ohio State, is the biggest diehard Duke basketball fan.
Why? Is he white?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
But had to go to see Cameron Indoor. Had, really? You know, had to, like, was shaking when he met Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, Lord.
It's just, and just, like, every, like, has a ritual whenever Duke's playing, what he's got to do and what he's got superstitiously line up and eat and do. And I'm going, man, it's just college basketball.
Yeah, like, settle down.
But, yeah, there's people that just adore Duke basketball.
I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't get that. But I did appreciate the dude and his wife in the Carolina
jersey. I got
him.
I found your guy.
Rooting hard against. There he goes. I mean, he
looks
could
like
not
Steven
be happier.
Spielberg in a Carolina
he
jersey.
He could not be happier that Duke was losing.
Nuts.
That made me happy as well, seeing that. But yeah, I would have totally. But watching that game, Rakeem Felder. That's my dude now.
The point guard
that's my dude.
South Carolina?
Yeah, I was telling you guys in the meeting, but man, if you guys out there listening didn't watch this Duke-South Carolina game and you didn't get to see Rakeem Felder, watch him in the next game when they play Baylor. This dude, he literally has a 100-mile-an-hour chest pass every time, no matter what. You'll never see him throw a lazy, sloppy pass. And it just fascinated me watching him just shoot these BBs all over the court. Just... Man, and he's balling out, and he looks like he wants to fight somebody.
He wanted to fight a couple.
I was
like,
really
the,
hoping.
The goon scenario you painted, you didn't need a goon for. There were a couple times where after the whistle, the Duke guards got a little extra push and shove in. And he was like, do that again, man. Do it one more time. Well, and he was ready to go.
Yeah. That was pretty fun to watch. It was fun to watch them get beat like that.
South Carolina, to me, was a team that looked like it was never organized. It never was really running any set plays, but boy, when they needed big buckets and they needed guys to step up, everyone was stepping up.
That's so true, because I'm a huge fan of Frank Martin, and I thought, like, God, like, I always respected him as a coach. I guess he kind of had that, like, dictatorship kind of, you know.
Kind of Bobby Knight-esque.
Reputation, you know what I mean? When he was at, was it Kansas or K-State?
K-State.
Yeah. Yeah. I was happy for Frank Martin. That's a good win for him.
I'll tell you what, though. You look at him, to your point, you look at him and you know if you played for him, there would be more times than not that you could tell what he just ate for lunch, how bad his breath was, and that he knew every cuss word in the English language. He's just that kind of guy. Like, I love the fact that there are certain coaches that try and hide it when they're on the sidelines, and you just know. And then you get the microphone where they're dropping, like, 6 and 7 F-bombs while they kind of got a half grin on their face where they're basically telling them, if you do that again, you're going to be sitting your ass right next to me and blah, blah. And it's just, I love that they try and disguise it.
Chris from Beaumont tweeted, 80% of the time, the refs get it right all the time.
They're going to tell you they get it right. That was, did you guys also see that, which was cool? In the Michigan State game, the NFL ref was doing the game.
No?
Really? Yes. Sachetor? Sachetor.
Yeah.
He was doing the, I tweeted it, he was doing the Michigan State game yesterday, the Kansas-Michigan State
game.
That's very cool.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah, and then, and before him, the guy, because these guys, you know, when you're like, it's kind of like being a numbers geek or anything else. When you're a ref, when you're not doing, like, your sport, you still ref. There was a guy, and please don't make fun of his name, and of course he has to be from Wisconsin, but there was a longtime NFL official for, like, 20-some years named Jerry Seaman. Jerry Seaman was one of the top officials in the NFL for years, and in the offseason, he would ref our college basketball games. Wisconsin Collegiate Conference. He refed a lot.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian is thankful for that guy. Because Seaman sounds way worse than Simeon. Because I'm sure Simeon's got a lot of hate as well.
Yeah, but think about being a stock car driver named Dick Trickle, who also coincidentally was from Wisconsin. But if you're Dick Trickle, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. You're the butt of many jokes.
Somebody texted Dookies for life.
See? There you go. Yeah. There's one of those people.
It. That's fine. What I think the tipping point for me last night was when they flashed to the crowd and it was a bunch of kids and those rugby shirts, the blue and white
blue
rugby
and white
shirts.
Striped ones, yeah.
And I was just like, ugh, God, typical rich kid. Those are typical rich kid shirts. And of course, a few people like OU Mike are texting in their hate and don't bother me. Whatever.
Now, can I ask you this? No. Because we're all sports aficionados to some degree, right? But would it be on your bucket list, though, to go to Cameron Indoor?
No.
Oh, mine for sure.
No.
I would love to see
a game
there.
I don't even like college basketball, though, so.
I would just like to see one game there for the history of it. Because they say, like, the TV guys are on the top of Cameron Indoor because it's such a Cracker Box little small gym.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. And the kids wait and camp out, like, for nights at a time to get tickets to the games. But it's supposedly just the craziest, wildest experience ever. All right, Mike Lester, I see you holding. Our intern says, Mike Lester, I know better because it's about Arkansas, so that means I know you, so you can wait a while. We'll get to that coming back. Did you hear, by the way, and we're seeing the Twitter and the tweets, which I was not aware of, the reunion for the 2008 Celtics, and one of the big three is not invited? Wow. We'll talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot more. Let us know what's on your mind. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Usual suspects here till 4. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Baby, you're a song. You make me want to roll my windows down and cry.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, let's rodeo Houston. The Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is hosting Florida-Georgia Line today. For just $18, you can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and have some fun at the carnival. Get your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com and go check out Florida Georgia Line and their song Cruise. Tell the truth, Nick. You have this on the iPod.
I like this track. I like this record. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
And I don't like country music
at
all.
It's like when no one wanted to admit they liked Vanilla Ice when he first came out. Like when
they first dropped.
And he didn't sell millions of records to nobody. You know what I mean? Like, somebody was buying those damn albums. So, yeah, I'd listen to this. And then they added Nelly.
I guess some people are a little bothered by the integration of the two types of music.
Yeah, guys like OU Mike don't like that. They want their music separate but equal. So.
Okay. And on that statement, which has been made, and quite firmly, I might state, we will take Mike Lester real quick because he wants to talk about that Arkansas game. And look, Mike, before you get going, I was on your side. I even called out the call, even though I took Carolina. Go ahead.
Hey, Joel, I appreciate it. I just want to give you kudos for actually standing up for the Razorbacks. That may be the first time in your life that's ever happened.
Well, admit why.
That the refs blew it at the end of the game.
The main reason I'm backing your Razorbacks, Mike, is because I hated them up until that point, only after our football coach left in the middle of the night with a complete hose job to take what he thought was a better job at Arkansas, only so he could crap the bed.
Hey, you know, I'm past that, Joel. I try to give you a break. It's okay. we're improving in football, but we're talking basketball. The refs really, at the end of that game, you've got to admit, it was a horrible no-call. And if you look at all of the calls in the game, I think there was like 15 called against the Razorbacks and only 4 called against North Carolina.
Oh, don't be that guy,
Nowhere
Mike.
Nowhere near being close.
Mike, don't be that guy.
I'm that guy.
Don't be that guy.
I'm usually not, and you know I'm not. You know I never go down that road. But
I don't know you, Mike.
Barry doesn't know you like I know you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't be that guy where you're like, well, there was 19 calls versus 7 calls. They had 9 fouls. We had 5 fouls. Like, a lot of that, man,
But he is right. With a one-point game, you could have had 2 calls that went the Razorbacks' way. One, it was a charge
they
didn't call.
I'm just saying, don't count all the calls in the game.
Two, after they didn't call the charge, he did a two-step twice before he threw it at the rim. Yeah. So, yeah, and then you could have the 24, I mean, the shot clock violation. So, yeah.
You know, had a tip ball on a shot that should have been Razorbacks ball under the goal, with it being the 3-point game. But having said that, you do at the end of the game have to tip your hat to North Carolina and say, hey, they did what it took when the game was on the line.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I just want you to say the word L-I-K-E one more time.
Hey, for you, Joel, I'll say I do not like Wisconsin in any form or fashion.
Like, I appreciate that. Well, you don't like them anymore because they blasted your bracket.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they did. I'll save my giving you heck till the next time I see you in person.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Hey, Mike, and by the way, just like your call, it ain't going to be hornswoggled, but you're going to be vamoosed. You're gone. See ya.
Bye, bud.
Mike's
said,
a good dude.
Giving you heck. Hey.
Like. We're back to Monday radio.
I like that he said heck. Of all the things that I've said on this show, he doesn't feel like he could say hell. He said giving you heck.
Oh, gee. Oh, never mind.
Did you were you struggling coming into the week?
No.
After last week,
but
Thursday
I heard,
and Friday?
And I'm not going to say that. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to set this up because it's not my personal opinion. I heard, as much as you said you weren't going to struggle with it, that you were struggling a little bit yesterday.
No.
No?
I don't think I did. Did I struggle yesterday, Nick?
No, I don't think. From on the show, you mean?
Yeah, his relative gave my wife a ride to the airport yesterday with Get Me, and he said, and
relative,
yeah, Mike from Get Me. So while I was waiting for Lisa to be ready,
I don't know why you say that
because you guys look alike. So
and you know
he was
that's
telling.
Not
he goes, boy, Barry was struggling. I go, what? When?
Barry was not struggling.
He's like, yeah, Barry was struggling to get back from the cussing to the regular Jesus radio. Christ. I go, no, yeah. He said he wasn't going to have any problem.
The one guy that does it all night and then comes in the next morning to censored radio struggles with it. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Way to pay attention.
You just said you were tired, but you didn't seem like it was a struggle.
Yeah, I was tired.
I wasn't hovering over the dump button or
no,
anything like that.
Not at all. No. Jesus.
The last thing you ever want to do
is... I think people hear what they want to hear, to be honest with you. I could come on and avoid cussing. It wouldn't matter. Mike would have heard what he wanted to hear that day, which was me struggling.
I mean, and then when push comes to shove, just tell him what your favorite Broadway play is, and you can get it out of your system.
That's right. That's true.
I mean, that's absolutely fine. And, Nick, I never want you hovering over the dump button unless you're constipated.
Chris from Beaumont said, do you guys want to see UCLA lose just to see LeVar Ball knock down a peg?
Now, I can say this because Lisa's out of town. Hell yes. Lisa went to UCLA. She's a huge Bruin. I want to
I hope
see
she's
them,
listening on the stream.
I want to see them take it and take it hard because of the fact that that guy's dad drives me insane. And then I watch him, and Nick was talking about, because we were talking about top prospects for the draft next year, and obviously, you know, Lonzo Ball is in the top three. I watch him. He's just not that impressive to me.
I mean, Lonzo Ball, I feel like he should have played at Duke, too. Like, I want to...
That's a good call. That's a very good call.
He needs to be at Duke because I hate him that way. Right?
Yeah, like, that's a great call.
I don't wish the kid failure, but I wish his dad...
And will you change your opinion when I tell you he's not white, Barry?
Oh, yeah. That really matters.
Just checking.
I don't wish him failure. I want his dad to fail. Like, I hope Lonzo Ball goes on and has whatever NBA career he can have.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that LeVar Ball and his BBB and all that just crashes and crumbles and
Big
he
baller.
Just, I just, God.
Can I just say this?
Fail, please.
I hope, I don't know the kid and I haven't seen many interviews with him. I don't know him. I hope he's not like his dad because... If he is, he's going to get his ass kicked even worse than he's going to when he gets to the league because of his dad.
Yeah.
NBA veteran players are going to target this kid even on his own team when he comes into the league because of all this crap. And if he comes with the holier-than-thou, I'm better than you attitude to top it off, he could get seriously hurt. Because in practices...
He's probably going to be targeted.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? They'll disguise it in practices, in scrimmages... The picks are harder. The action around the basket's more physical. And especially in practice when you don't have refs for the most part, the elbows are sharper, harder, and are coming faster.
Yeah, I brought it up last week, and that's why. Because your dad is going to write checks that your ass can't cash.
Yep.
And it's going to be a problem. And that's why I think that, I mean, the kid, after last week, and when he should be out there trying to minimize what his dad is doing. I mean, he should be out there saying, you know what? I'm not my dad. My dad's a grown man. He can do what he wants. I just want to play basketball. I love the game. I love my team. I love this. Like, that would be my message so that I didn't get my ass whooped when I get to the NBA. Because that would worry me. That's the first thing I thought when his dad came out and was doing all that. I was like, this dude is going to get his son just pummeled.
Is he? But he thinks he's the Skip Bayless of basketball fathers.
Who?
LaVar Ball. Because now he's out there saying that Fultz isn't the best player and shouldn't be drafted number one and that he's really garbage compared to his son.
Yeah.
That's just an attention a whore trying to get another Joe before the week's out.
Yeah, that's true.
Wear higher heels and shorter skirts, LaVar. All right, so right now I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mack always doing it and doing it for the people of Houston, Texas. He's been doing it for years. He makes sure that you have a furniture company in this town that you could go to more than one time because they get service after the sale. They get you a quality American-made furniture. They give you reliable customer service, and they give you locations that make it easier to shop for your furniture. Gallery Furniture, 3 locations. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland for a new beautiful showroom. The mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mac literally sits at that front desk and he will greet you when you walk through the doors. Or the Galleria location, Westheimer at Post Oak. As I mentioned, 2-for-1 recliners, always a great deal there. All solid wood, American-made furniture, whether you want living room furniture, dining room furniture, or you want to get some of that great leather upholstered furniture for your man cave or your movie room. They have it all. They make sure they take care of you with service with a smile, and they also make sure if you buy it today, you get it tonight, up till about 10 o'clock at night, they'll give you a whole house full of furniture, and their delivery people will not only be very friendly and hardworking, but they'll even take away what you want to get rid of on the way out and move some of your other furniture to make sure they can get it in. It's Gallery Furniture. It's Mattress Mac. It's a mainstay in Houston, Texas. If you need furniture, Gallery Furniture, because Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.